Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week on the Andy and Amanda Show. From Hollywood, California, Andy Kimball. And from deep inside the United Kingdom, his co-host, none other than the amazingly talented Amanda Lowe. In this episode, join our show where the discussion will be the NFL draft, winners, losers, your predictions, football in the UK, Major League Baseball, whatever you would like to talk about, here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Join the conversation, 515-605-9888. The Andy and Amanda Show.
Are we on? Hello? Anybody there? Are we on yet? Hello? Hello? Are we there? Hello? Hello, 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 hello? Yes, folks, this is the Andy and Amanda Show. Andy Kimball here, broadcasting from our Los Angeles students, I think. Amanda is on the line, but, you know, hey, this is the Monday morning show, and we're going to get our tech equipment up to speed here, and making sure we're both on. I don't hear Amanda, so I'm going to assume that she's going to join us. She, probably some technical issues over there in the UK with the internet connection to the show. This is Internet Radio, Block Talk Radio, the Andy and Amanda Show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. We'll get it straightened out here in just a couple minutes. We want to welcome everybody to join our show. This morning, Monday morning here in Hollywood, California, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, namely the UK, where Amanda is. Let me just tap in here. Give me a second here, folks. So how's everybody doing? Who's paying attention to that NFL draft? Who was paying attention to the draft out there? Again, I want you to call in your picks, what you think. 515-605-9888. We are diving in to sports this show. Amanda, are you with us?
I'm with you, darling. Can you hear me?
I do hear you. I didn't, you know, but I told everybody you were going to be joining us, that this is the Monday show, the beginning of the week. We typically, you know, strangely enough, when you look back at the previous Mondays, we've had some kind of issue. You know, we end the show Friday. We're all, hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Yeah, everything's working perfect. By the end of the week, we get everything all sorted out, straightened out, and ironed out, and things are running perfectly fine. Then come Monday morning, we're like, hello? Hello? Are you there? I don't hear you.
Know,
hello?
Right.
Hello? How are you? I don't know. I don't hear you. I don't know. Hello?
Yep. I was sat here talking to you. I was like, hello, Andy. Welcome back from the toilet. And I was just like, okay, so he can't hear me at this point.
Well, I'd be in the bathroom. Maybe. I figured that's what might be why I didn't hear you. I was in the bathroom now, you know.
Okay. Yep. Let you off.
Mm-hmm. I'm better now.
Hey,
I feel much better.
Sweetheart.
Feel much better.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I said, how you doing, my sweetie? You have a good weekend?
Oh, love. I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Yes.
How are you?
Oh,
how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, darling. I had a good weekend. Missed you, of course, my co-host. Happy to be back with you on the Monday.
Yeah, I missed you too. About your weekend. Just days aren't the same without Amanda in my life. What can I say, you know? You know.
Oh, I know the feeling, Andy. I know the feeling. Aww.
Yeah, but we're going to take a vacation from our sex and relationships and intimacy conversations that we've been enjoying so much the last couple of weeks, kind of touching on those subjects about being related and all that kind of stuff and attractions and things. We're going to get back in touch with that because it seems to be a popular subject. But something really important happened here in the United States over the past week because, the pandemic starting to, you know, many people are becoming vaccinated and God, we've been through this whole ordeal, especially, you know, on the show, we've talked about it so much in the catastrophe and the horrific episode that's created for the world population. Yeah, we've talked about it, you know, but people seem to be getting more back into the swing of things. Things are opening up to some capacity. The NFL draft took place. That's football. And we know that football, where you are, is not the same football where I am.
Very true. Very true.
The ball's a different size. No,
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. Yeah.
Yes, it is much different, isn't it? You guys call it soccer there. Our version of football is soccer there.
Soccer. I got to tell you a funny story about soccer. Can I tell you a funny story real quick about soccer? I coached, I'm really into, you know, kids and youth sports and you know, kind of paving the way for a competitive life ahead through sports and working together, each member of a team being an integral part to the whole picture. And that's how you kind of live your life as an integral part to the world. And it starts, I think, is a good thing for kids and developing that is with sports, you know, and that's kind of where if you see bullying tendencies, that's where you stop it. That's where you get people to work together, and even if you have disagreements, you get over disagreements and keep moving forward, you know, on the same page, you know, that kind of deal. So anyway, enough about that. But the point being is that I coached youth sports and did so in Little League Baseball for a while, and then somehow got drafted to do basketball, although I never really played basketball. I wasn't really into it, but I got drafted by the township. And then, after successful basketball season, they asked me to coach soccer. Now, I never played soccer, maybe back in elementary school and gym, I don't know. But I, you know, for the most part, I never played soccer in my life.
Yeah.
Forgetting what you do in gym class in school. I don't know, whatever you do. But so they asked me to coach soccer, and I told the township sports people, I said, I never played soccer. And they said, Andy, you know, we need coaches. You did a great job with these other things. You know, there'll be other dads that'll help you. No worries. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'll never forget because my oldest daughter is an incredible athlete. And when I told her, and she's a great basketball player and a great pitcher and baseball player. I mean, she's a great athlete.
Wow.
So I came home and I told her I was going to coach basketball. As a matter of fact, the first season I coached basketball, she was so disappointed. I went back to them and I said, can I coach under somebody? Can I be assistant coach under this guy, Bill, who she loved and she played for his team before, and he's an amazing coach. And I asked him if I could please, at least for 1 year, be his assistant coach. And that worked out great. Okay, great. Okay, so, my daughter was very disappointed that I was going to coach basketball because she didn't want to play on my team. So then she comes home from school one day, and this is after I had that, you know, phone call with the township regarding soccer, and she walks in the door from school, and I said, guess who's going to be the soccer coach? And her jaw dropped.
Said, oh, wow.
The first thing she said, can I play on another team? So it's all girls. I'm coaching girls soccer, you know, it's all girls sports, girls basketball, girls soccer. And so the team gets together and I said, okay, here's what, because I don't know anything about soccer. I don't even know what the positions are called or where you put them on the field. I don't even know. I have no idea. Yeah, I'd line them up like the baseball team. I have, you know, home plate, first, second, third. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So I lined the team up like a football squad. Football is my sport. Mm-hmm. I live and breathe football. And I want, you know, in football, I think, you know, baseball is supposedly a national pastime sport in the United States. Football is huge here. I couldn't compare which is more popular, but football is a shorter season. You know, it's a short season. Therefore, I think it draws that. You've got a short window. So everybody dives into football during the time of year. I think that's what is an impetus for that. Okay, anyway, I lined the team up like a football squad. I said, you're going to play quarterback, you're tight end, you're wide receiver, you're cornerback, you're, you know, you're center, da-da-da. And the girls are looking at me like, what? So, and here's my, I didn't know how to play soccer. So I said, girls, here's what we're going to do. This is really important. I want everybody to listen up. Listen up, all right? All right, no distractions. Listen to what I'm saying. When the ball comes down the field towards you, you kick it the other way. Okay? We good?
Okay, okay.
Good. The more frequency you get at kicking the ball the other way and preventing it from coming our way, the more opportunity you have to kick the ball into the goal. Not that it's going to go into the goal every time, but you'll do your best. But the more times you kick it that way, the more chances you have of getting a touchdown.
Right.
So getting the touchdown? Whatever you call that, the basket. Whatever it is there you do. Okay, coach. Okay, coach. So I waited for the first, and we practiced little drills, and some other dads came and helped me because I didn't even know what drills were. You know, some other dads were quite helpful. So yeah. I didn't admit, I tried to look really professional, like I knew what I was doing. I didn't really admit to any of them that I didn't, you know, I kind of, you know. So what kind of drills do you like? And dad would say, well, you know, we put the cones, you had the girls dribble around the cones. You like that one? I said, oh, I love that one. Yeah, let's do that. That's a great one. What's a cone? Ice cream, what are we talking about here? You know, what
yeah.
cones? You know, I didn't know what cone. What are you talking about? You would put the cones over there. I'm like, put the what? Over where? Anyway, so finally we get to our first game. And the other team puts its players on the field. And the referees and the other team coaches are wondering, how come my team is not on the field yet? Because I wanted to wait till that team was lined up, till I knew how to line my team up in the same way. Because I had no idea where to put everybody. Because they were lining up like a football squad in practice.
No. <know? laughs>
So
yeah, I can just see it in my head.
Oh my god. So I put everybody down near the goal. Just line up and hold hands and line up and just create a fence so the ball can't come by you. Hold hands, sing kumbaya together. Let them think we're a little crazy. It's okay. Sing kumbaya, hold hands, and like do a little dance. Like when you're kicking the ball, like, you know, just don't let it come by you.
The can-can.
Like, you know, like the Rockettes, the Radio City Music Hall. You know what I'm saying? All right? So and also in soccer, you know, for youth leagues anyway, they call timeout and they put the girls or guys who aren't playing, they change, you know, they call timeout and they put all the subs in, you know, so everybody gets a chance to play.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't do that because I didn't know anything about that. Here's what I did. I did it like football. So when you send a new player in, you give the player – now, we lined up like football. We lined up all sorts of plays, defensive plays, offensive plays, different types of positions that they all play. And moves that they make, depending on where the ball is and how the other team's performing, will counteract that with the play that we designed, with positions, where everybody knows where to go, how to move the ball, what to do, where to put the ball, all that kind of crap. So we designed all this stuff, you know. And, you know, like they would in football. You know, I had the whiteboard, the whole thing. I'm drawing out. You go here. You go for the pass. You know, you throw the ball down there or whatever you do, kick it, throw it, what are you supposed to do? And so we had all these things lined up. And so I would send my subs in, I'd whisper them, I'd give them a name, code name Andrea or something like that. I'd say, go tell them.
Yeah.
And you'd see, and everybody would get, the word would get around to all my players, and you'd see our team shift. Because the word got around, everybody would shift what they're doing. They go from zone to person, man on man. They go from this to that, you know. You ready for this? We were undefeated.
I'm ready.
We never
wow,
lost a game.
Wow, really?
We never lost
wow.
a game.
Wow.
Undefeated. Champions, I'd never played soccer in my life. Coach Andy here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
you know
amazing.
What I'm saying?
Good for you, darling. Good for you.
Yeah. So if you know any players, football over there, whatever you call it, who are into, who need a coach, I'm available. You know what I'm saying?
I'll spread the word, darling.
Undefeated. Never lost a game. Undefeated.
Woo!
And oh, I got to tell you one more story.
Yes, go for it.
Basketball. This is before soccer. Basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first season, I learned when Coach Bill, was his name, was you know, talking to the girls, talking about rebounds and playing basketball and passing the ball. I'm learning as much as they are because I never played basketball, right? So when he's talking, I'm really – he was really, really good. And we worked a lot together. You know, he gave me things to do. You know, he knew my experience, and he, you know, he was really good with me as his assistant, and he was really good with the girls, and he was an excellent coach. I could see why my daughter liked him so much. So we got along so well, and our team won the championship. We went all the way. We won the whole thing. And so we decided at the last game that we would do it again the next year. You know, we worked together great, you know, and I learned a lot, you know, from him, and also started coaching the girls, and you know, was really doing okay. So the next season, we go to the township, and I tell them, sign up, you know, I'm signing up for again, like we did last year, Bill and you know, Bill, I forget his last name, and Andy Kimball, but we want a team. They said, okay, no problem. Yeah. We wrote it down right away. You got it. Got it. So I went to, you know, Bill texted me or something, said, Andy, the team envelopes are at the township building. Why don't you go pick up our team? So I go up there, and I see a separate envelope for Andy Kimball and a separate envelope for Bill, meaning they gave us each a separate team.
Right.
So I went to the guys at the table, and I said, wait a minute. Bill and I are supposed to coach together on the same team. Oh, he said, oh, I'm sorry about that. No, we needed coaches. We were short. You guys did a great job last year. I'm sorry we had to separate you. You got your own team this year. I'm like, I can't coach. I can't do this. So sure enough, we start basketball. And this is really funny. We had remember we had Joe Richmond on from the Harlem Globetrotters, the Washington Generals, talking basketball that day. This is funny. Cool. So I remember telling him the story. And so we start, you know, I just told the girls, you know, we're just the same thing as we did in soccer. Just keep the ball, you know, long. Keep the ball going the other way and do dances and pirouettes all over the court. Make them drive them crazy. Pass the ball here. Just drive them nuts. Don't let them know where the ball's going to go. And we did really well. We lost the preseason games. We lost every preseason game. And then when the season started, we began to win. We didn't win every game, but we won a whole lot of them, enough to get us into the championship in the final rounds, right? So who do we play in the final round, the final? And during the season, we got beat by Bill, the guy used to assist his team, beat us big time. They beat us, right? So, okay, he was really good, and his team was always good. And, we did the best we could, but we lost. So guess who we play in the final championship game? We're back to play them again. Hmm. And the whole first half, they couldn't get the ball in the basket. We were like, bam, bam, bam. We're making every shot. We are up like 16-2, you know, 18-2, 19, 20-2, you know, free throws, getting all this. Well, not making all the shots, but we were just slaughtering. And finally they get four, they get six, you know, but we're, you know, halftime, bam. Oh, man, you girls, great. You know, and we're beating this guy. I'm like, whoa. Well, my girls are like, you know, this is a championship game. So second half begins. They are getting every shot. We're not doing anything. We didn't get one. We stopped. There's no more offense. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? There's no more offense. I'm starting to pace back and forth. I tried to play the coach, you know, with a clipboard, you know, pacing back and forth behind the lines there, you know, like trying to look like a professional, you know, pacing, you know, pacing with my pencil behind my ear, you know, slamming my clipboard down, you know, trying to play the part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? You know, I was thinking for a while.
Would you rather have a man?
I was thinking.
Would you rather have a man?
You know, maybe I should be, I don't know. Okay. No. So here's what happens. I think I've got to stop that momentum. I mean, we're still ahead, but they're catching up to us quickly. We were still ahead. So I called a timeout. I think I got to stop the momentum. Just Andy, call a timeout. I don't know what to do. You know, I know what to do. So I called a timeout. Whew. Take a breath. Okay, girls, huddle up. Okay, come on. Okay, relax. Everybody take a breath. All right? Go back. Yeah. Relax. Everybody deep breath. Go win this thing. Let's put this game to bed. We got it. You got it. You guys are the best there is. Let's go back and do this. Just finish it. Go out and do your job. Finish this thing. Let's get out of here. So you ready for this? We went back to it, and we won the game. Right? And after we won the championship, we won. I beat my former, the guy who trained me. I beat him. You know what I mean? And he was pissed. And there's a little thing, even though it's all about the kids. We know that. It's all about the girls. It's all about youth sports and you know, working together, like I said earlier. But that's what it's about. But there's this, I guess, a male ego thing or something. There's also something about, you know, one coach playing the other coach. And the same thing is it's also in professional sports. You know, it's the coach against this coach. You know, oh, this coach, what's he going to, you know? And even in youth sports, there's a little thing between, and we all do this together, and we talk and, you know, make sure everything's going well and the kids are doing, having fun. Most importantly, they're having fun doing what they're doing. That's the most important thing. And but even with all that being said, and that's, you know, top of the priority, all that being said, there's still a little ego between the coaches.
Right.
And so he was so pissed when they called the final, when the final clock went down, bam, zero, we won. Everybody's yelling and screaming, da-da-da. He was like, He called a timeout. That's no. I'm challenging. He called the timeout. The referee says he can call a timeout. Why can't he call a timeout? He called a timeout. He called a timeout. I'm protesting. Why can't he call a timeout? Yeah, he did. He was, you know, he did what he did as a coach, man. And we won. So that was kind of cool. You know?
Wow. That is cool. I love the stories. Who would have thought you doing coaching, eh?
Yeah.
But, wow.
You know?
That's pretty cool. I've never done anything like that. I mean, I don't really see women coaches, I guess. But, no. Sport is always been some sort of interest to me because as I've talked to you about it on previous shows, my father was very big on football, soccer. Mm-hmm. So I was raised around that, always watching the games with him. And, you know, you get to take on your parents' team, and which for me was Tottenham Hotspur, which is based in London. And so, you know, I grew up with that and the kit and everything, you know, I had the T-shirts. I would be out there playing with the boys, playing football. I would even join in at school and be part of the football club, which was a mixture of boys and girls, which was beautiful. And that was a lot of fun to play. But, my parents, well, before my father died last year, 2 years ago, he got to go to see Tottenham Hotspur playing in their new stadium. They've just, you know, renovated their stadium. And it's incredible. Apparently, it's one of the best stadiums in Europe. And a lot of American football is played there as well. We call it American football. You guys just call it football. But so a lot of that gets played there. They've got a special pitch that they bring out, especially for the American football to be played on, which is incredible how the pitch transforms. And I got to witness that, how they do it. Very, very cool. So, yeah, so my parents went 2 years ago, and they had the VIP box, which was a radio for my father. It was kind of a last thing for him, special thing. And Zac Efron, the actor, he made an appearance and turned up at the match. And he was only a few VIP boxes away from my parents. And the waitress who was in the VIP box, she came
high
and told my mother. High school
said, musical. Da, da,
I know,
da,
right?
Da, da. Yeah.
I love those movies. The waitress, she came over to my mother and she's like, "You've just missed Zac Efron. He's just walked past." I was like, she's like, "No way." He's like, yeah. So she just kept an eye out for him, but they didn't get to see him. But, he was only a few boxes away. And I checked out his Facebook. I think it was the next night because at that point I was babysitting my parents' dogs because one was very poorly at the time and the other one was fairly new to the family. So they wanted to make sure that the dogs were settled and okay. So I kind of hung out here with them. And I was checking out his Facebook and... he had a picture of him at the football match. I was like, "Oh my goodness, my parents were just a few boxes away from you." that was pretty cool. But so I wanted to share something a little interesting actually about football, soccer. You know, apologies for being a bit boring, but I just came
not
across
boring.
It.
Not boring at all. And anything you say is always exciting.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You flatter me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always had this interest as to where sports came from and all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating to me where things started. Mm-hmm. So in the UK, okay, we have 40,000 football clubs. And obviously it's the biggest sport here in the UK, the biggest and most popular. So the Football League itself consists of 69 professional football clubs in England and three in Wales. And football's first set of modern rules was set in 1863, and I believe you guys were playing it in the 1850s, but you took on the new modern rules.
I wasn't here in the 1850s.
Oh, no, you weren't that person. Mm. You know. you guys in the U.S. Took on the modern set of rules that were created in 1863 alongside us. And so Sheffield Football Club was the world's first official club and the oldest association football club is Notts County, and England's top domestic league, known as Premier League, is one of the most popular and richest sports leagues in the world. That blew me away when I read that. With six of the 10 richest football clubs in the world. England football team is one in only 8 teams to ever win the World Cup, and a total of 5 English teams have won the UEFA Champions League, which is also known as the European Cup. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking further into this, and it said that the first written evidence of football, soccer, came about in 1170, when William Fitzstephen wrote of his visit to London after dinner. All the youths of the city goes out into the fields for a very popular game of ball. He also went on to mention that each trade had their own team. The elders, the fathers, and the men of wealth came on horseback to view the contests of their juniors, and in their fashion sport with young men, and there seems to be, aroused in these elders, a stirring of natural heat by viewing so much activity and by participation in the joys of understrained youth. Kicking ball games, as described in England from 1280. And it was a thing for King Edward II as well. He was into it. And, yeah, so I find that really fascinating. I was like, oh, I'm going to find out where this came from. Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty incredible, really.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a question. So
yeah.
the town, you know, soccer is a huge sport in the UK, in Europe, throughout the European Union. It's football, as you call it, football.
Obviously. Yeah.
But here's the question I have, and I forget who I was talking with yesterday, maybe in Cornell, I don't remember. And Cornell, by the way, folks, is the coordinator of the show back on the East Coast, and he joins us every once in a while. But anyway, that's who Cornell is. If you hear us mention his name, that's the guy. He introduced Amanda and I. Anyway, we've never met, but he put us all together. And he's a great guy, and he's a terrific coordinator for the show. Anyway,
absolutely.
So I think I was talking to him, I think it was him yesterday, and we were talking about, yes, it was Cornell. We were talking about the NFL games that occur in London. I think there's 2 now per year, or maybe more, and a preseason too, I think, when they had preseason before COVID, obviously. So here's the question I have, because it's football. That's what it is. NFL is football. So when we bring our teams, you know, the Cowboys and the Vikings, the Redskins and whoever it might be, you know, they bring 2 NFL teams, both have to travel to the UK and play on UK time and throws off the time zones here as to when you watch the games and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, are they at Wembley Stadium? I don't remember, but they're somewhere in London. But anyway,
they play at the Tottenham Hotspur Football Stadium. It's specifically set there now, because they've got supposedly one of the best stadiums ever constructed, so that they decided to negotiate a deal to have that played there and therefore built the special pitch for them whenever they came to play.
Okay. So it's very well attended. Very well attended.
Yeah.
I mean, they do really. Yeah. But it's called football. So when we bring football teams to play football, and they announce football in the UK, but football isn't football in the UK, it's soccer.
Yeah, so over here, if we wanted to watch one of your football games here, it would be, I think, announced as American football, because obviously we have to make that distinction because of, you calling football. And
there's all sorts of rumors here for several years now. That the NFL, you know, in trying to, you know, why do that? Why would bring in teams to the UK to play? We don't, you know, they don't need us. We don't need to go there. It throws off the time zones when the home team audiences can watch the game. They might have to do it at 1 o'clock in the morning or 3, whatever it is. So why do we need to do that? And of course, the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar business, or you know, it's a huge business, and it's all about money. It's all about business. And rumor has it, for years, speculative rumor, that the NFL is making a move to launch a franchise, an NFL team in the UK.
Oh, really?
And
I have not heard of that.
And that, now again, it's rumor, and I don't want to kick up any, you know, might not be based in anything real, solid. You know, it could be what they call our fake news. Fake news. Yeah.
Possibly.
But I've heard that several times from several sources throughout the last couple of years that, you know, why would they be doing it? You know, conjure up interest, get things going, get it on TV, get it on radio, get fans coming out, get them to love the game. Hey, let's get a team over here. Yeah, we love this. And that would mean bringing, them coming here once a week, or a team from U.S. going there once a week for a game. I don't know. And well, you know, in baseball we have the National League baseball. We have the we had the Montreal Expos, and they moved to Washington D.C. And we still have the Toronto Blue Jays in Canada. And Canada has the Canadian Football League. They have football there. They have their own league. And there was talk about you know, why can we have an NFL team in Canada? Why can't the Canadian Football League play a U.S. football team? When the Super Bowl happens, we all know the Super Bowl is truly the world championship. We have the Canadian Football League too. So is it really in that sport, although the rules might be slightly different, it's still football. Is the Super Bowl really dictate the world championship? And if we put a team over in the UK, we had a team in Canada, could we really start, you know, in the NFL rules, you know, an NFL team? Could we really start expanding the reach? Because it is a great game. I mean, it's I guess, again, the short season, it's high energy, it's that contact, it's rah, 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 go get them, you know, man, tackle that guy, bam, oh, man, you know. a lot of very serious injuries and death has occurred to football players from playing the sport with subsequent brain damage, you know, down the road, you know, decades later, they die and do autopsies and realize that their brains are affected by all the contact in their earlier careers in football. It's, you know, and they've put safeguards up. They've increased the structure and stability of the helmets and so forth to try to, you know, and they've also really, I mean, they've really come strict, tightened up the regs as to when you can tackle somebody, how you can tackle somebody, how you can hold them. Can you pull a shirt, you know, grab him around the neck, you know, twist his face, all this kind of things. That it was just, you know, a lot of people used to come out and say, let them play ball. Just let them play. God, you're taking, you know, you're to tiptoe from, you know, why don't you just make flag football? Why don't you, so they can't touch anybody. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, you know, but again, when you start seeing people dying and being severely injured from playing the sport, then they've got to, you know, step in and do some things. Hey,
well,
you
I hear
talk
that.
About the, go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I hear that the helmets, you know, it's like any helmet, whether it's a motorcycle helmet or whatever, can only ever offer a minimum amount of protection anyway, because as soon as your head is hitting anything, you still get that vibration with your brain hitting, you know, the skull, the liquid, the water, whatever it is, the fluid, that's the one. Around the brain. Oh, my goodness. Can only offer so much protection. And unfortunately, no kind of helmet can ever offer 100% protection from receiving any kind of brain damage or, you know, tumors or blood clots or whatever injury you end up having. And I think people tend to forget that, and they think, oh, they've got a helmet on, I'm going to be completely safe. But the truth is, no, you know, banging your head in any kind of way isn't good. And so, yeah, I can understand the amount of players that have ended up seriously injured or dying from it. It's quite scary.
It is. It's very, very scary.
I mean, crazier with rugby because we don't have any the same protection that the NFL has. So it's, you know, they think we're
violent
savages. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Talking about violent games. Really. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The boys just go out there with their knee pads. No, they don't even have knee pads. Sometimes they tape up their knee and that's about it, or their elbow.
Geez.
But that's about it. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Man.
But, hey, what were you going to say, sweetie?
The NFL draft happened. You know, we picked the National Football League teams drafted from universities, from colleges, this past week over a three-day event. 259 picks. There weren't, this is kind of interesting, because even though those 259 picks, there weren't 259 names drafted, because two players, ready for this? Two players with the same name were drafted by the same team.
No way!
Yeah.
Wow!
And we'll get into that. Well, it's, you know, just a little, you know, fun little thing. But anyway, Alabama! Team began. They've been a class act in college football for years and continue to be. Yeah. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, of course. But Alabama and Ohio State continue to earn the label of football factories. These guys have been putting out the top NFL players for years, and this year was no different in the draft because they produced 10 draft picks each, Alabama and Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio State's out of Columbus. I used to live in Columbus when I was a pilot. I was based there and knew about Ohio State. I never really was into college football that much. You know what's interesting? I never followed college football, ever. I was a huge – I'm from Philadelphia. And I'm big time Eagles fan. To the point we used to go, they used to play in a stadium called Veterans Stadium. It was rough. You know, you probably didn't hear about this over there, but, you know, they used to, you know, the snow, you know, the fans from the 700 level up top would throw snowballs at the opposing team from the top.
Really?
It was rough. It was rough. What? You know what I'm saying? It was rough. Wasn't easy. You know what I mean? No respect at all, you know. You know, where do you think Philly got its reputation from? Rocky! You know, anyway, it was tough, man. And Buddy Ryan, he died. Yeah, he was a very well-liked coach because he's a tough guy. You know, he used to, you know, call these games, supposedly, which was never really confirmed, but rumor has it, you know, we're going to carry the other team out in body bags and fans, yeah, body bags! You know, oh my God! You know, I was never like that. I was like, I'm warning you, Harold. You cross this line, you die. Okay, never mind. You cross this line, you die, Harold. I'm warning you. Don't come close. I'm warning you. That's all. I'm warning you, Harold. Don't come close. Don't touch. Anyway, I played football. I played a tight end, and in football.
I was refraining from commenting on that.
I knew what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I played tight end in junior high school, not really much into high school. I forget, eighth grade or whatever it was. And I was very light and very fast. But because I was light and fast, you just like flick me with your thumb and I would go down. You know, I was, you know, bam, I could be thrown off balance pretty quick, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I got hurt, you know, these heavy, even back in high school, junior high school, these defensive players were big guys compared to me, you know, I was light, you know, skinny kind of guy, and you know, still 5'9 or so, and I think, 129 or 130 pounds, if that, whatever, you know, so, I go down the ground, and they, you know, these 200-pound guys or 180-pound guys would land on top of me and pile, and I'd be, oh, my God, you know, I got, you know, it's like not very comfortable, it was not very comfortable. I was much more comfortable being home, drinking a glass of milk and watching TV. Anyway, so what would happen is, you know, I'd break free. I'd run a pattern and break three. I'm wide open, and I'd have quarterback. I'll never forget. I can still see it in my head. I still have eye contact with the quarterback, and I'd be giving him hand signals, and he thought I'm hand signaling to throw the ball to me. I'm open. You know, get me the ball, get me the ball. But they weren't my hand signals. My hand signals was pointing him in the direction of the next receiver. Don't throw it to me. Throw it to the next guy. I don't want anything to do with the damn thing, you know? And people think, and I'd be getting cheers because I'm running. People say, go, Andy, go. I'm running for my life. I ain't running for a touchdown. You guys are chasing me. Holy crap. Yeah, Andy, go. I was just running all over the field. I started running around in circles, going the wrong way. Andy, no, the goal's that way. I'm fucking running for my life. You know, holy crap. You know, I want to play. What do you call it? Sweet hot potato. You throw the hot potato to the next guy. You take it.
Like something out of a cartoon.
I'm running around in circles. Teams, you know, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters there on the football field. You know, I'm running all around circles, going here, going there, putting the ball underneath my shirt. I don't have it. Yeah. Who's got it? Ball's underneath my shirt. I'm walking around like I'm pregnant. You know, I don't have the ball. Somebody else must have it. Not me. Wrong guy.
I know, honestly, I'd probably be the same way because, the idea of being in that situation is not very appealing to me.
it was a painful game. Painful game.
Yeah.
You know? You know. But,
it really is.
Yeah. You know, of course, friends and my cousins and family would come out. You know what I did? And I think as I got, I forget how great, as I transition from playing the game. I forget why. So I really did enjoy it, but I got I made the decision not to play anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. I think because I think I know why.
You know, people have got this theory that they'll want less sex at home if they're having it elsewhere, but in fact, there's a thing called the hydraulic pump theory that says that.
Remember that? It was because practice. Because I had a girlfriend, you know, and we used to practice after school, and normally my normal activity would be sex at home after school, you know.
Fair enough.
So I. You know, so I had a choice, sex with your girlfriend or football. It was a tough choice. So I had to think about it.
Yeah.
If you would just lean back and relax.
I did, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. I think a lot of people would be choosing the latter one at that point, Andy.
Yeah, but what I did was instead of playing the game, I became I started coaching. I started, you know, I didn't want to play anymore, and I forget why. I don't remember why. Maybe I didn't make the team. I don't know. I really don't remember. I really don't what made me not want to play. I'm thinking back and I have no. See, you know, I was tackled so many times. I don't remember a lot about those days.
No.
I'm thinking about it now, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of blank spaces in my head. Well, that's not new.
Don't worry about it, darling. The amount of blank spaces I've got in my head.
Andy, it doesn't surprise me at all. Right.
You know, if I shake my head a bit, I can hear, you know, a few things jiggle around up there. I just know there's a bit of space, so I try to fill it where I can and hope for the best.
I think, you know, when I got out of the game, it was like, you know, more people came out to see me.
What a lovely crowd.
Yeah, lovely crowd. You know, tough crowd. You know?
Well, my sport when I was younger was tennis, very much so.
Oh.
I was a huge fan of tennis. And when I wasn't playing soccer with the boys or at school, I was playing tennis. And I was pretty good at it. I used to. It was so good. And one of my teachers, this was in like last year of school, she said to me, Amanda, you've got real skills. I was like, thank you so much. She said, seriously, you could go far with this. You could go professional. I was like, wow, that's a huge compliment, because I never saw myself good at any kind of sport. You know, physical education wasn't exactly my favorite subject or class to be in. It was like, oh, we got to do something physical. Yawn, you know. I just want to get out of school already, get home and live my life. But, you know, so when we did tennis at school, that's it. I came to life. It was like, this is my jam. Let's do this. And so I used to really enjoy it. And when I was told that, I was like, wow. And that played on my mind for a while. I was like, do I really want to do something with this? Because I enjoy playing it so much. And, you know, I just thought, no. I just carry on and live my life playing with music and design. So, yeah, I took that path instead. But, yeah, I mean, tennis. I love watching tennis. I love playing it. So much fun. But I often wonder what would my life been like if I had played tennis professionally or tried to play tennis professionally. I'm not saying I would have succeeded, because it's a very tough sport to be really good at.
Do you still play it? I mean, could you play now if you wanted to? Could you go out and grab a racket and play?
It's been a long time since I picked up a tennis racket and just gone to play tennis. I was walking recently, going on my daily walk, and you know, COVID has been stepping back a bit, and so it's lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I saw these people in a tennis court, so I was like, my God, I miss playing tennis. And I was looking at the court, thinking, you know, I would love to get back in there and just have a good old play and just whack 10 pounds of crap out the ball again. You know,
wouldn't that be? It would be so much fun. I would. I never really. I mean, I. Fooled around. I never played a whole game of tennis. I don't think I played racquetball or something. I never played tennis. And I bet it is. I bet it is. But even when I played tennis, I don't know how to. So I'd hold the tennis racket like a baseball bat and swing it like a baseball with two hands. I hit the home run. I hit it over the fence, the big fence. I hit it. You know, I figured I was good. I hit it over the fence. I got a home run. No, Andy. No. That's not how it works.
Wow.
One hand, Andy. One hand. You don't. It's not a baseball bat. And I'm like, okay, you know. Yeah. I even tried golf, and I even held the golf. You know, it's funny. I never played golf either. So, but I went to the driving range a couple of times and went with this guy and a friend of my mom's, got me a set of golf, titanium golf clubs, right?
Very nice.
I went to my front door one day and they said, there's a delivery for you. I'm like, delivery? You know, it was in a high rise and they called from downstairs and they said, we got a big delivery for you, a package here. And I'm like, what kind of package? And I went downstairs and there's a whole set of golf clubs. And this is when Tiger Woods first came out, won the Masters. The whole world, the whole country, at least here, and I think the whole world in the sports world was focused on this guy, Tiger Woods, an African-American athlete who just rose to the top out of nowhere, number one golf player. And everybody's glued to golf, and including me. I knew nothing. I never played in my life. So, Coop, a friend of my mom's, bought me and had delivered a set of golf clubs. I'm like, whoa, right? So we went to the driving range, and I'd been a couple of times, so he went with Andy, because he's a golfer. And so when we first got up there, I'm golfing, I'm hitting that ball, man. It's flying. I know what I'm doing. So there's certainly a lot of people that are hitting the ball much further than me. But considering where I was, that ball was flying, man. That ball was going out all over the place. And then so the guy, he says, hey, let me give you some tips. Stand like this, hold it like this, shoulders like this, twist your body like this, boom, boom, leg like this, da-da-da. I couldn't hit the damn ball. He's giving all these tips. I'm not even hitting the thing. Things going 4 inches, right off the platform when you drive, I feel like I'm striking out. Do you get three swings and you're out? Is there something with a ball in golf? I don't know. He strikes or ball. Anyway, so he's watching me miss the ball. I'm swinging. It's like I'm chopping grass. Nothing's happened. The ball ain't moving. I'm taking this incredible swing. Ball's still sitting there. Shit. Here we go. Ready? Here we go, Andy. You got this, babe. You got this. Come on, Andy. Come on. Ready? Here we go. We'll swing the golf club back. It's coming back. And here we go. Ball's still sitting there. So he says, you know what? Do it the way you're doing it. Fine. Just do it. And I'm like, holding the thing like a baseball bat. I'm just swinging it like a baseball bat. Boom. Home run. Woo, doggy. That thing go. Anyway, so tennis to me is just such a – first of all, it's a very healthy sport. I mean, you're moving and dancing and playing and doing somersaults. You're doing jumps and cartwheels all over the place there, whatever you do. Jump up in the air, going down, on your knees, turning around, You do the sweet potato and you turn it all about. That's what it's all about. Bam. And you have that tennis racket there. It's moving right, left, left, right, up, down, back, forth. That's my kind of sport. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, it sounds like some other kind of sport I'm into, too. No, listen, I'll tell you.
Okay. Gymnastics by any chance?
but really, it's a healthy sport, isn't it? It's a healthy sport.
Yeah. It's great. I love the way it keeps you moving. But, I mean, you do have to be quite fit to stay for a whole game and even try and win a match, the length of the match. So, I have a lot of respect for a lot of tennis players, for their persistence and dedication to the sport, because it's just incredible how fit you've got to be. But then watching anybody run around on a soccer pitch, football pitch, they're running around like crazy trying to get the ball into the goal. That's just like, you see them stood there sweating, panting. It's just, wow. Okay. So you got to be extremely fit for a lot of sport. I understand that. But yeah, tennis is just a whole other level for me.
I have a question for you. Because, I hate to be ignorant of this, but I am ignorant of this. So I'll admit I'm ignorant of this. When they say, Your name is synonymous with tennis. I mean, when you play tennis, they talk about you all the time. You know that. I mean, you are very well known within the world of tennis.
Yeah.
Because literally every single game, they talk about you. And I would too.
Right. Thank you, Andy.
See? So our... and really, I mean, because you are famous in the world.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah. Thank you.
So the question becomes, why do they? What's two love, three love, one love, 27 to love? What the hell is this about Amanda Love that gets involved in every single game?
I think. think it's because I showed them nothing but love, you know, for the game. So they're like, well, we'll just, you know, we'll repay the kindness that she's shown to us, and we'll just show so much respect to her, and I'm, you know, forever grateful.
Yeah, are you like, you know, they have to show the score to you every game.
Seven. Oh, I know,
love.
Right?
Here you go, Amanda. Yeah. So what? How do you keep scoring tennis? Like, okay, let's see how I get a goal or a touchdown. Whatever you call it there. What do you call it? Score? A basket? I don't know. What is it? Home run?
No, it's. I think it's just a point system, you know, like okay, anything. So, yeah, you got, like, the match points and all that kind of thing. And
yeah,
it
what's
fills
that mean?
Up with,
there might be some people in the audience, such as myself, that you know, tennis, wow, which I would play when I was younger. It looks great. I know nothing about it. So how do you keep score in tennis? So I hit the ball and you miss it. So what do I get, 1 point?
No, it goes up in 15 points.
That's a huge thing. So it's only 15. It's 15 nothing already. All I did was I hit the damn thing. You swung and missed. And I get 15 points. Holy crap, that's my kind of game. Woo, dog it. Good luck catching up now.
Yeah.
You got
15
points. What?
So obviously, the aim of the game is to get enough points, right? But
15 is pretty good. All you do is miss the ball once. You got 15 right away.
So 0 points is classed as love, okay?
And 0 points is who?
0 points is classed as love. Moi, Amanda Love.
Yes, zero points. So 0 points is good. So if you have nothing, so the lower your points, the better you do.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. So,
so if I've got zero, that's love. A lot
so
of
if
love.
You hit the ball within the box on the opposite side of the
right.
The what do you call it? The net. Thank you.
The basket.
So it's classed as 1 point, which is equal to 15. Okay, they do it like that.
One. Now you lost me. All right, hold on. Now if I hit the ball. Now the ball goes over the net.
Yeah.
You missed the ball.
Yeah.
I get 15 points, but then I get 1.2.
It's actually, you know, it's seen as 1 point, but they call it 15. Why? I have no clue. Maybe so that it just doesn't get so confusing.
Okay.
I don't know. But to me, that is confusing, right? As 1 point equals 15. So
I'm in the stand. I'm in the stand. Right?
Yeah.
I'm watching two people play. All right. Here, I'm watching my head going right to left.
Yeah.
To right. To ding, 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 ding. Ding, whoop, they missed. I look up at the scoreboard. What's it say?
it will say either 15, 30, or 40, and then you've got the...
It'll say 40? I saw it went from 15 to 40. I haven't even begun the game yet. I got 40. What? What?
So for every time the ball lands in the box and the other player opposite you has missed the ball... And then you've got that 1 point, that what is classed as 15, okay? And
so how's
and
it only 40?
It goes up to all in total to win a not the whole match, but a set or one of the games within that set. You have to score 4 points or more, okay?
But you only got 15.
So
you won. So you missed the ball once.
Point.
You won already.
Yeah,
that's a wipeout. 15 and nothing. All I did was hit the ball once. Done. Go home. We're done.
Well, obviously, 4 points adds up to, let's see. You've got 1 point equals 15. 2 points equals 30. 3 points equals 40. And then you've got a tied score. And then you've got 40-40, which is called juice. They call it juice.
You
so if you're both tied with 40.
I got some love. I got some
40.
Juice. I got some love, I got some juice, I'm doing good. A little vodka, you're all set.
If you both score 3 points, for example, okay, which is equals 40, and you're both at that 40-40 level, they call it juice. So what happens then, the person who gets the next point wins that game. And you have so many games in a set. And then once you've done so many sets, you've won the match. So it's
how many
quite
sets?
A lengthy,
can go on forever.
Lengthy process. But
you,
exactly.
You have enduro? They have like marathons. You just play all day, all night. How many sets do you get to play? What if I'm not done? You see, we're done. I want another set. Who dictates how many sets you get to play?
So I think there's 5 sets in a match. So Sometimes a match is played best of three or five sets. In championship matches, is played up to five sets. So, yeah. It's quite a lengthy game and a lengthy process. And I think, like, that's the reason why I was saying you have to be extremely fit, because you do have these little breaks where you go and sit down and you have a drink or eat a banana or whatever it is. But, you know, other than that, it's a very lengthy game and you've got to be extremely fit for it. And,
man,
you know, the thought of all that when I was younger was like, no.
Wow. That's a strenuous game, man. That's a big game.
It is.
Big time game.
It is. Yeah. Very much so.
Hey, so, Amanda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had the opportunity to have a Kona beer yet?
No, because they don't sell it over here.
We gotta fix that. We gotta get Kona beer, folks. If you don't know, our friends in Hawaii at Kona beer, and I was introduced to this beer on a music tour over there several years ago, and a guy who produced shows for me got me booked over there, introduced me to Kona beer, which, being from the stateside, you know, from you know, I'd never heard of Kona beer. It wasn't the beer I would normally drink or ask for. So I had Kona beer in Hawaii, and I was like, holy crap, this is really, really good. Now, is it a handcrafted, you know, beer? Close. You know, I mean, it's like one of these really, you know, if you're used to drinking like a, I don't know, Yingling back on the East Coast, or a Bud, or a Michelob Ice, or a Pacifico, or a, you know, Sierra Nevada. I don't know, you know, whatever beer you drink, you know, it's mass-produced beer, not a handcrafted small brewery beer, but a beer, and, you know, regular bottled or canned beer. Scores above that, and just in terms of the flavor and the little kick and little punch and the uniqueness and the aftertaste. I feel like I'm talking about a fine wine, and you almost are with Kona beer. And what I recommend is that you, if you haven't tried Kona beer, that you go to your local brew house, and if they don't have it, you tell them to get it. Or you go to a place called, here in the States, you know, I didn't know this was a chain. I thought it was unique to California, and I learned it was a chain. A place called Total Wine. They carry it. And you can get a variety pack in the refrigerated section. They have variety packs, say 12 bottles, three of, you know, they make a lot of beers, but these are three popular ones. They make others outside of this, but there's the Blue Wave, there's the Longboard Lager, there's, you know, there's a lot of, and they're all really, really good. And you need to try Kona beer. I know Total Wine has it, and there are probably some other distributors that have it. I think very few commercial bars and restaurants have it, because it's not one, like, you know, being, before I went to Hawaii, I never saw anybody's tap, you know, Kona beer. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And in Hawaii, they have Kona beer breweries, you know, restaurant breweries, you know, the Kona beer, and you go get, you know, home meal and the Kona beer or whatever, you know, it's all brewed there, and they have the big vats of beer and all that. But it is really a fabulous beer. And if nothing else, you know, it's worth a try. You know, it's a really, really, really good beer. And we talked about it and played some of the spots on the show, and just wanted to, instead of just playing a spot, I wanted to just dedicate some time to just talk about it a little bit, because, and not that I'm a beer connoisseur, you know, I know a good beer, when, you know, but I'm not this, there's some people who know all about this beer and this one, like the wine connoisseurs, the people who are also beer connoisseurs, which I am not. I'm the average Joe Schmo football fan, I guess, you know, and you like a good beer here and there, and you go into a microbrewery or a good restaurant, you see all these different, sometimes you go to these places and you see you got 100 different taps, you ask the bartender, holy crap, you know, have a taste of this, or what's that, or what's that. But I'll tell you something, Kona beer is like that. Like when you have a taste of Kona beer, like you feel like you're one of these microbreweries, and they had the taps and the bartender suggests this one, here, try this. And so anyway, try it, folks. Kona beer.
Yeah.
Hawaii,
you know, I'm looking forward to trying it. Really am. I've heard so many great things about it. Like you, Andy, I'm not a huge drinker. I drink a bit of lager and beer here and there, and I'm not really into like spirits and things like that and fancy drinks. I do like champagne though. I've always been a huge fan of champagne. So yes, that's always a sweet spot for me. Yes, I've never been a big drinker. You know, I had a lot of friends growing up who would be going out clubbing all the time, going to pubs and stuff, they'd spend a lot of their wages on that. And I'd be like, you know, I'm just happy chilling, going out every now and again, and enjoying myself once in a while. I just wasn't a big drinker and wasn't into that scene a huge deal. I respected it.
Right.
I enjoyed it when I did go, but I wasn't on it all the time like all my friends, you know. I had,
mm-hmm.
like, in my eyes, I had a lot of other fun and interesting things to do, and I was always
mm-hmm.
hanging out with friends anyway. It just wasn't at places like clubs and bars a lot. So,
right.
yeah, so... Yeah.
yeah. Well, you come over here, and we're gonna get you to try it. And I want all of our listeners and folks who tune into the podcast all across the country in North America, around the world. I don't know where Kona Beer is distributed. Actually, I didn't know much about it before I had one. That was a couple of years ago, and since it's been my every time I go to Total Wine, I look at the refrigerated section. I think I'm gonna try. There's this one. There's the blue. What's it called? Blue Moon or something. It's like this white wheat beer, and I like that a lot too, and some other beers, and 805 beer.
Yeah.
There's some good beers, real good beers I like.
Yeah.
And I said, I've been stocking my refrigerator up with a variety pack. I mean, bam, I'm low. I go, I fill up my whole bottom rack on my refrigerator door is filled with Kona beer. I line them up, all the red tops, all the blue tops, all the green tops, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And I run low, I go get another one. And every time I go to Total Wine to get another beer, I think, I'm going to try something else. I want to try something else. And I look at the Kona beer variety pack, and I'm like, it's got it all. It's all there. I could
that's
try something
great.
Else. It's all there. So that's what I do. And have I had other beers? Yeah, you try the beers occasionally. But Kona,
how many
Kona
do you get in a variety pack?
12.
Oh, right. Is that 12 different flavors or like
so
more than one of the same flavors?
No, it's three bottles. It's what is it? Four beers, three bottles of each one.
Okay.
Four
of them. Good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can't. I know this is red. Well, yeah, there's. I had to make sure. Wait, I'm picturing three in my head, and that would only be nine. There's 12 bottles, but there's like nine, three. No, it's there's four. I'm just trying to think what the fourth one is. I just know the colors of the caps. I just reach into the refrigerator, and I pulled the red one out of the blue one, but what's this one? This is the lager. This is the ale. This is the, whatever. But anyway, so I want all of our listeners, you heard it first, the Andy and Amanda Show, a Kona beer, and...
If you don't like it, I'm going to whoop you.
See? All right. We'll get that.
Excellent.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, folks, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. We are right after this message.
We are going to drain the swamp.
But the swamp won, Donald. Mitch McConnell's Washington consultants are making big money using your name. We don't know if Mitch gets a cut, but what do you think, Donald?
My friend, Donald Trump.
You're getting played. He's picking candidates loyal to him. They brought you a little bowl to hold in your little hands. And you fell for it.
What happened?
They're laughing at you. All the way to the bank. Maybe you shouldn't run again. Maybe the power Mitch McConnell has over the GOP is just too much for you. Maybe what McConnell and the rest of Washington is saying is true. That Trump is done.
Yep.
That was pretty cool, Andy. That was pretty cool.
Isn't that pretty cool? I think he's done. I was talking to an attorney over the weekend not that I didn't need an attorney. I'm just a friend of mine.
Player. All right.
Really good guitar player. But anyway, he said he does a lot of work with vaccine distribution and COVID and the whole thing. He's got a very high up position in Los Angeles County regarding testing for COVID and distribution of the vaccine and managing the budget and getting the money in from the government, the state, and all that. But he's a pretty high up guy regarding all this stuff in Los Angeles. And his just opinion, his one person's opinion, of course, but mine too, is that Trump's going to be indicted as we get closer to summer and might actually and the indictment, even though he's being investigated in Georgia, obviously, for trying to tamper and asking officials to change the vote. But New York is probably even more serious because we're talking about his business in money laundering, wire fraud, bank fraud, a whole bunch of things, namely telling your bank loan institutions, evaluating your business to be amazing, but then going around in your tax returns and signing them and putting it in writing that your business is doing pretty bad, you're losing a lot of money. But then you go get the loan, you tell them how great you're doing. You just want more money to build more. Yeah. That's illegal. So
yes.
So that's where, you know, in this guy's opinion, that's where the problem's going to be, for the legal problem. And it could put him in jail. It literally could put him in jail. But well, Cyrus Vance, who's the and I don't want to get onto this because we're going to talk sports, and I just want to just because that spot played. Cyrus Vance is the attorney who general, not the attorney, the U.S. attorney in New York, who's leading the investigation in the lower district of New York. This lawyer friend of mine thought that he was moving slowly. You know, why is he going so slow? And my opinion is that he's got to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. I mean, he's got to take his time. He's got to be meticulous. He's got to make sure he's got all his figures and facts. So when they appoint the grand jury, that he's got enough there to say, yes, indict.
Yeah.
And if he's indicted, they're not going to indict for nothing. They're not going to indict just because of on a hunch. They're going to indict because they have something concrete that they can convict on. And we'll see. Then there's also Giuliani. You know, we talked about this last week. Giuliani's apartment office got raided. They're looking. They got all his electronics, his computers, his phones. I figure out what his relationship was with Ukraine and blah blah blah. It's a whole nother conversation. But anyway, I don't want to go down that road because we're talking. No, we're talking the NFL draft. We're talking sports and football and tennis and all things sports related. If you want to get in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, whether it be sports related or not, we prefer it to be sports related on this show. This week, I think our focus is going to be sports and cars. Sports and cars this week. You know? Kind of cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Very sports cool.
Yeah, this whole week we're going to focus in all the shows this week on the NFL, on sports, on baseball, and automobiles.
And on Friday, we got movies as well, if I remember rightly.
Yes. On Friday, we have we're making a movie on Friday. I'm glad you and Cornell are on top of this and not me, because I'd get on here and go, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm on the radio.
I think the subject of movies on Friday is horror movies, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be a lot of
fun. Yeah. So today is sports. Whatever. Wednesday, sports and cars, too, if we get to it. But, you know, sports and cars. And you never know. You know, things we are our main, you know, we comment a lot on what's going on in the world and how various issues in the world affect our individual lives. That's kind of like the thrust of our show, even though we go off on tangents, which is a lot of fun. I think it makes it more interesting and more fun for us, too, and hopefully for our listeners, which I think it does because our numbers are getting so significant. That's a whole other conversation, too. Don't want to go down that road either. But thank you, everybody around the world, because our numbers are really climbing here, and we want to really appreciate that and show our gratitude somehow to all of those who are, you know, making those numbers reflect the way they are reflected, which is, So I like to... I want to show our gratitude to all the people who make it possible. So anyway,
Wow.
Hey, there's something awfully screwy going on around here.
Yeah. I wonder how well received that will be.
Watch our numbers double now. The last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we made it. All the months of hype and speculation led to the 2021 NFL draft. Through the pandemic, through some rough seasons, through all the crap we know we've all been through this year, the draft happened. It got viewership. They had it. The draft is officially in the books, and then the ripple effects from the past days start into what, Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday. They could define the year they do every year. They could define the league for years to come. That's what the draft does. And as we all know, too, the draft is you know, pending the player's physicals and, you know, how they work out in camp and how they do, and some of the draftees get cut. We know, all know how that works. These are the top picks, yeah. Don't, but, the, you know, some of the – you get down to 250-some-odd number pick and stuff like that, and you know, it's a crapshoot as to who's going to make it. Who, you know, it's like you take the draft players back home, you know, the numbers cards, and it's like throwing them on the dartboard, who's going to stick and who's not, you know, who look good. Then you show them – and some of these guys – and there's also – free agents who weren't drafted. They're really good, and for whatever reason they weren't drafted, then they go ahead and they have agents and they petition teams to get, you know, to be walk-ons. You know, hey, we want to work out. This guy wasn't drafted, but watch this guy play. And there have been many success stories from undrafted free agents, you know, that we can talk about later on. But anyway, so we can maybe have a short conversation. Again, I'd love your participation, 515-605-9888. Which teams could see the biggest immediate impact from this rookie class of draftees? Which teams best position themselves for the future, not just for the season, but for the long run? And which teams could be kicking themselves when it's all said and done? Oh, man, we had a shot at this person. Fuck, we are next one in line. We didn't. We traded down. We traded up. We did something. We picked this guy instead. God damn, look at this. And then the season starts, and this player is like a star, you know? But maybe we should, and not that I'm an expert, you know, I'm not an expert, but I love football. I'll say that. I do like football, right? But there are a lot of people, a lot more knowledgeable, obviously, than I'm a guitar player. All right. Enough said. All right. So, you know, anybody want to talk about guitars instead of football? No, I don't think so. All right. Anyway,
Is there like a huge debate over there as to which is a better sport, like the NFL football or like basketball or baseball, soccer? Is there, do you have those types of people that say, oh my God, no, this is the better sport. You can screw bloody basketball and all that kind of thing. Like over here, there's quite often like they see two class of people, that a certain class of people follow football, soccer, and another class of people who follow rugby, which is unbelievable, really, but it's true, because soccer over here has a lot of it's influenced by alcohol. So a lot of people, fans who go to watch these games, quite often go out drinking. And we've been known to cause trouble in all sorts of countries because we go over there to watch, support our teams, and get into fights and all sorts because we've had alcohol. So we haven't got a very good reputation for that, unfortunately. So I think that's why we're seen as a different class of people for those who, you know, are into soccer as opposed to rugby, which that type of thing just doesn't really happen within rugby. So, yeah, just wondered if it was the same kind of thing over in the US. Not really, yes. Right?
No.
Yeah?
No, in all honesty. No. Anyway,
no. fair enough. Just wanted to know.
You're a little different over there. You know what I mean? You know, your air's a little different.
Actually,
air's a little clearer over there. That's a whole nother show as well. Oh my God. That's something else we'll dive into down the road. But yeah, the air's definitely, I think, cleaner over there. Anyway, Jackson, let's go back to the draft here. Trevor Lawrence, where'd he come from? Quarterback, Clemson. Remember Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, these guys are always kind of like the discuss, the ESPN teams, the discussions, all the panelists that are talking Clemson, they're talking Alabama, they're talking Trevor Lawrence. Where do you go? He went to Jacksonville Jaguars. This is like a no-brainer, I think, just in my limited opinion here. It's a home run pick for the Jaguars, who I think they locked up, I think, you know, I can only assume, in one of the most exciting, talented quarterback prospects of the last decade. Lawrence has a complete skill set. I mean, the guy, if you've seen him play for Clemson, you know, a mix accuracy, athleticism, you know, moxie, you know, like the whole skill set, you know, the attitude, what you bring on the field. You know, it's not just the throwing arm, it's not just the what he can do, but the whole package, you know. It's like a natural playmaking moxie. He's got that playmaking thing happening, you know. And the Jaguars are now going to need to surround him with a quality supporting cast. You know, the quarterback, this is debatable. This is debatable.
Yeah.
515-605-9888. Quarterbacks of carry teams. Brett Favre. Right?
Yeah.
Brett Favre. Where's John Madden? Brett Favre. Brett Favre, you know, Montana. God, I can go on and on. Who else? My gosh. Hey, how about, you know, how about Tony Romo? Right? How about Brady? You know, these, you know, what did teams do without these quarterbacks, you know? So, but you do need a supporting cast and implement a smart offensive system to fully maximize the talent of a quarterback, obviously, and that's what the Jaguars are going to have to do. So we'll see. They've got, you know, the Jaguars are going to back this guy up with you know, folks that are not just receivers, but folks who can catch the ball. DJ Clark, you know, Marvin Jones, you know, and then you put that on with an experienced offensive coordinator, you know, Darrell Bevell, and you got him calling the plays, and, you know, you put this amazingly talented Clemson quarterback, and you got, you know, you watch what they do. You watch what they do. New York Jets picked up a quarterback. Where? Another talked about team. BYU, Brigham Young. Young, Brigham Young. Brigham Young. Brigham Young. Go, ho, ya. Ho. Hey, I'd love to hear them. I shouldn't talk like that. No offense, folks. I'm just having fun. But I'd love to hear the Chinese broadcast of the NFL draft. Anyway. Zach Wilson, he's out of BYU. Bring him on. And there's no big spit it out, Andy. Bigum Wong. Oh. The New York Jets got Zach Wilson and you know, if I read someone about the draft and who was predicted to pick who, and I don't think that was much of a surprise. But Wilson brought forth a high-end passing accuracy and out-of-the-box structure and playmaking. And that's what he's going to bring to the Jets. And I think he's going to make a real strong, very tight fit in the offensive line. You know, the whole system, the entire offense, I think, is going to be terrifically strengthened because he's got an incredible ability to, at least in college, again, we don't know how it's going to work out, you know, but he's got a natural, innate ability to attack downfield and make ridiculously difficult off-platform throws. So you should see a more exciting New York Jets offense with him behind the ball. Or at least, you know, worth watching on Sundays. The Jets should be an exciting team to watch. We'll see what this guy does. Kind of reminds me of a you know, he kind of winds the ball up. He's got this, you know, you watch him stand back and pass the ball and watch his follow through. He kind of reminds me of a Major League Baseball pitcher. He's got this incredible follow through all the way through. The arm carries all the way down across his body like he just threw a fastball.
Wow.
Pitch. You know, it's good. And he throws very accurately and he's dynamic and he's exciting, you know. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Okay.
Another quarterback.
Yeah,
I like quarterbacks. You know, I mean, quarterbacks. You know, we always have quarterbacks. Trey Lance. He came out of North Dakota State. Where'd he go? He went to the San Francisco 49ers, and that comes after weeks of speculation as to which quarterback the 49ers would take. We all knew they needed a quarterback. They had to do the quarterback deal, and finally have the answer. We knew they had to make some changes, and they did. Lance makes a ton of sense for that team, I think, because he's a big guy. You know, he's a strong arm signal caller. You know. And coming out of North Dakota State in a run-oriented, play-action, heavy offense team that resembles, like, you know, Kyle Shanahan's scheme. You know, he's kind of fits right in there. Big guy, a lot of running plays, can throw the ball, a strong player. I think you're going to see the 49ers benefit from his ability and skill level. He has all the tools. You know, he played plenty of football. He's got a very good football IQ. He's going to need some time to refine his skills. You know, a lot of times these quarterbacks that have the big bodies, the strength, the bully type, they're strong. You know, they're good play callers. They go out there and make things happen. Sometimes you see some of the more finer skills that are required by a quarterback. They just need to be developed, and that's when these rookies come into camp and they start working these guys. You know, when they start coming in and actually playing games, we don't know yet. You know, we'll see. But he's played just one game since the 2019 season, and he's only got 17 college starts and attempted a grand total 318 passes in his one time. So he had some issues. He had some physical issues, and you know, he was a. Well, anyway, enough about him. He's a big, strong quarterback, and hasn't played a whole lot of games because of other issues, but he's phenomenal. I think he fits right into that 49ers offensive scheme. I think he's going to do well there. And, of course, wish him all the luck in the world. And I think it's going to make the 49ers a more competitive team. Not this year.
No.
You know, because, again, I'm looking back at his skill set, you know.
Yeah.
And if the Jaguars got, let's say, an A+, we'll start with the Jaguars, you know, with the picking of Trevor Lawrence, I'd give Trey Lance a B-. Right in there. A B-. Just to, you know, what I was talking about.
Okay.
Right in there. All right. Atlanta Falcons. They had a tough choice here, man. I'm looking at notes about the fact. They had a tough choice because they had to invest in a long-term future.
Hmm.
You know, Matt Ryan is the quarterback of the Falcons, and I wouldn't expect you to know that, Amanda, my sweetie. But Matt Ryan is out of the same high school as my daughter went to, Penn Charter, back in Philadelphia.
Wow!
And his
cool.
brother, Matt Ryan, was amazing at Penn Charter. He graduated just before my daughter's first year, or graduated the year before she got there. But of course, Matt Ryan, he went on to be an amazing player, really did a lot of great things, and does a lot of great things with the Atlanta Falcons. He's out of Penn Charter. His brother went ahead in that Penn Charter high school team back in Philadelphia, went ahead and also did an outstanding job with the team the following year. But unlike his brother, I forget this guy's first name, but he was he wanted to go to college and medical school, did not want to pursue football. He was a phenomenal quarterback. Anyway, so Matt Ryan out of Penn Charter, I had to mention that because my daughter went to school there, and what a team they put together every single year, just about every year, not every year, but almost every year. So anyway, so 36 years old now. Yeah, I'm talking about when you're in high school. So they went with Kyle Pitts out of Florida, who was a tight end, to give another option to Matt Ryan. They need to make some changes. They need to do some strengthening. You know, we'll see what happens with the Atlanta Falcons this year. We don't know. I don't know. I can't. It's hard to say. I can't look at the Falcons and make any predictions. The draft for tight end Kyle Pitts, an amazing player out of Florida. They needed a tight end. They desperately needed to fill that position, and they did it, so they get an A for doing it. Not an
right.
A plus. They get maybe a B plus. B plus. B plus.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals, which went Jamar Chase. He's out of LSU, wide receiver. And they need all the help they can get. They need all the help they can get in wide receiver positions. And I think the way you judge the Bengals pick is probably dependent upon the way you think a team should construct an offense. But, you know, I mean, the way a tech, how would you construct an offense in mixing up the run game and the pass game in textbook? You know, how would you mix, you know, how do you play football? How do you mix up? How do you construct a really effective, good, tight offense? And I think what they've done, and what they may, you know, they may have been better off building through the trenches and the strengthening up the lines and putting in offensive tackles, maybe bringing somebody like Penei Sewell instead of grabbing a quarterback. But they got, you know, this top wide receiver in Jamar Chase. And I think it'll be interesting. Again, it's so hard to predict anything. It's really tough to make some predictions. They need a wide receiver. They got a wide receiver because they got what they really needed. And I'm talking about, I'm just mentioning some picks each, you know, the 259 picks here. They get, you know, rounds and rounds and rounds. I'm just kind of naming some of the top picks, which they picked and which these teams needed. So,
yes.
So I give them a B+. B+.
Oh, that's very generous.
I think they made one for quarterback. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know,
The Dolphins
got this incredible receiver from Alabama. Going back to Alabama again. Oh, my God, yeah. Again, 10 picks out of Alabama. One of those picks, Jalen Waddle, his name is, wide receiver out of Alabama. And this is it seems to me that over the years, I remember watching football and used to watch these wide receivers, and they get the ball down the sidelines, and tear. You is no catching these guys. Randy Moss, you know, Terrell, yeah. You know, they were gone. They were gone. And I think the NFL hasn't seen these blazing bursts of speed, catching the ball and taking off like a bat out of hell, going down the end zone, or at least making some good headway. You just haven't seen it in the past few years. Or if I miss something, let me know, 515-605-9888. But I haven't seen it really. And what I'm looking at here is the Miami Dolphins with bringing in somebody like a Jalen Waddle, who brings this burst of energy, the speed, possessing the field, fitting explosiveness and playmaking and talent to score every time he touches the ball. Bam, he's off. He's gone. Forget it. He's gone all the way.
Yeah.
You know? And you got to love you know, it's a good pick for the Dolphins. I think he's going to create some exciting ball. I think he's going to mesh real well with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller. And the team's passing game, I think you got to give quarterback Tagovailoa. I keep forgetting, mispronouncing his name. I hear the name, I say it. Anyway, the Dolphins quarterback, a familiar face to throw the downfield because he knows him. He played with him in college. But I think it's going to be exciting. I give them an A for the pick. You know, they did make some, you know, when you factor in the price that Miami had to pay to move back up from number 12 to number 6 to make this pick, you know,
that
could have been a future first rounder. I don't know. You're at 12 and you go to 6. That gives you some strength. And one's got to question what. I don't know. I'm looking to players. I'm looking to possibilities. Who was available at 6? Scanning some names. All right. The value is what it is, you know. Waddle, he locks size. He's coming off a major ankle injury. It forced him to miss most of the 2020 season. Well, who didn't, you know, he had COVID too, you know. And then he, you know, so that was 2021, 20. He didn't play a lot there. He ranks lower than Devonta Smith. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Watch the Dolphins. They traded. You know, and you're the draft. You know, you go out and you see who's available. And we drafted in little league football little league baseball when I was a coach. So we used to draft to start and seed all the teams. We'd start with a draft and then you go pick. But we'd start with just a coaches meeting behind the scenes at somebody's house, and we'd seed all the little league teams with starting players to make it even across the board out of the gate before we went to go player selections. And we had a draft. It was kind of cool, you know, participating in draft with all the other little league coaches and so forth. You know. It was kind of fun. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my, you know, I got to do a draft. Of course, we're talking Little League baseball. But still, it was fun. It was fun. So drafts are kind of fun. But getting back to Dolphins, just real quick before we move on to the Detroit Lions. I'm a big Lions fan. They'll see what happens. You know, they moved from 12 to 6. Could they have done better at 6? I don't know. But because I give him a B, you know, for kind of, again, I'm going up against who I think the Jaguars made an outstanding pick in Trevor Lawrence. You know, if that was an A or an A plus, that's what I'm basing most of my grades on. Right.
Right.
Penei Sewell went to the Detroit Lions. He's a tackle out of Oregon, the Ducks. You know, toughness.
Yeah.
Toughness. As head coach Dan Campbell put it, you know, he did all right. I think he's doing all right. I want to scan through these real quick. I think the Detroit Lions love the team. Of course, I think every draft pick they make is great. I give them an A+. All right, I'm a Lions fan. All right. Get got in there.
Fair enough.
You know, J.C. Horn. Carolina Panthers pick J.C. Horn, defensive back out of South Carolina. Good pick. I give him a B. Patrick Surtain went where'd he go? What's the Broncos? He's out of Alabama. Another Alabama pick. I give him a B. The Broncos play in division with Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? So this move is kind of in a vacuum. It makes way too much sense. So I give him a B plus. I'm going to move up to a B plus because it makes a lot of sense that they got this guy. They really needed a defensive back. They got one. They got a good one, Alabama. It's impossible to ignore the fact that, well, let's just see how they do. Going into the season with either Drew Luck or Teddy Bridgewater under the center, we'll see who's going to play quarterback. But it doesn't seem like a good feel for the dethroning Kansas City. I don't think they're going to do it. I give them a B. They probably, you know, you got to look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and we can talk all day about the Chiefs. We're not going to do this. I'd love to dedicate a show to the Chiefs. I love, love Kansas City Chiefs. I love Andy Reid. Of course, he's the Philadelphia Eagles, 14 years, 8 years with the Chiefs. Man, what a job he has done, right? Devontae Smith, yeah. Philadelphia Eagles, my team, E-A-G-L-E-S. Love this pick. Love the pick. Who got a true playmaking number one? Who's the number one? The Eagles did it. The Heisman's winner certainly lacks size, but man, what a skill set this guy has as a pass catcher, combining sudden he's a all around player. He's very skilled. He's a great route runner. Incredible catch radius. He can get the ball from all over the place. You put the ball in the zone anywhere near this guy, he reaches up. He's going to get it, and he's going to make some headway once he has it. The ability to take the top of any defensive player, this guy has the potential to do that. And I think he's going to perfectly complement the skill set of the Philadelphia offense. And let's see what the Eagles do. E-A-G-L-E-S, you know? Great. Yeah. I give the Eagles an A-plus on that pick. I really do. Chicago Bears went with a quarterback from Ohio State, Justin Fields. I don't know a whole lot about the Bears. You know, I really don't know. I really can't. I know they need a quarterback, and they got a quarterback. If they needed one, right. They got a real good one out of Ohio State. My God, Justin Fields. Can we talk? They got a good one. So that's all I really know. I really don't feel like I'm confident. Again, email us, andydemandyashow@gmail.com. Who do you like? You know, who are your winners, your losers? Give us a call. We're also doing this on Wednesday, 515-605-9888. Let us know who you like. I don't know enough about the Bears, but this guy's great out of Ohio State. We'll see what they do. I almost have to pass on a grit. I want to give him an A. All right, maybe B plus. I know the only thing I know from the Bears is they really needed to do something in this position. They got a great, just based on who they got, I'm going to give them an A because the guy should be terrific. But I don't know. You know, we'll see how he solidifies within the systems. Dallas Cowboys, Cowgirls. You know what I mean? I'm from Philadelphia, you know? Micah Parsons, they got out of Penn State, my home team, Penn State, Pennsylvania guy right here. What a team. Can we talk? The Nittany Lions, linebacker, Micah Parsons. Look, you know, Dallas was kind of pretty sad to see J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain come off the board in the top 10, but Parsons is a good fit, I think, for the Cowboys. He'll desperately need to upgrade their talent and the deficient, I'm being kind, their deficient defense. They're offering, you know, prototypical size and elite speed. The former Penn State star, Nittany Lions star, can wear a number of hats, and that's one thing he's definitely got going for him. Because both against the run and coverage, a great situational pass rusher. And I think, the comp for Parsons, you know, may have been Jalen Smith, but now they're teammates. So, hey, you know, they got him. You know? Yeah. I give him an A minus to a B plus. They got to call one of the other. I'd say I'll go B plus on that one. B plus for the.
Yeah.
D for the Cowboys. Forget it. One of my two new home teams, Los Angeles Chargers, went with Rashawn Slater. He's a tackle out of Northwestern. And for my hometown team now, Eagles are my real hometown team, but I'm trying to make the Chargers and Rams my hometown team because I live in LA now. But I think this pick for the Chargers, he is a home run pick. Why? Their main need, the former San Diego Chargers, now the LA Chargers, was a blindside protector for an ascending quarterback, Justin Herbert. You know, Slater is the dude. He's the dude. My number two offensive tackle and seventh-ranked prospect overall. He brings the athleticism, the skill, the power to start from day one. I think you're going to see this guy start. I think he's going to do great in camp. I think he's going to add a whole lot to the Chargers. I'm going to give the Chargers an A-plus on the pick. Terrific.
Wow.
New York Jets pick Rahul Leho. I don't know anything about him. Let's pass.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. Now, he's a tackle. Well, his real name is Aliyah Vera Tucker, folks. I'm just kidding. Aliyah, great player. He's out of tackle. He's out of USC. Of course, I was talking before a little while ago, and Amanda and I were talking about just sports in general and football. I never followed college football. Never was a college fan. I'm like, why follow college football if you can follow the NFL? I have no interest in college football. They dominated the TV sets on Saturday. Yeah, turned it off, changed it, never cared, didn't care. All the playoffs, didn't give a damn. Then I moved to California. Well, at that time, we didn't have a team. The largest city in the country, or second largest right up there. We didn't have a football team. So who did we have?
No.
We had UCLA and USC, and those guys played each other once a year, and it was like the Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl or down at the Coliseum. And my daughter went to USC, and I went to the games, and I've gone from hating and not hating, but just having no regard for college football to being a fan and watching what's going on, watching these guys who play for no money get out there and compete, you know, and they get other bonuses, of course. That's all another discussion. But anyway, and watch some of these names who do eventually make it to the NFL. And it's so great to watch these guys, and I can see what the attraction has always been in college football because that's where these NFL players come from. You know, and if you start watching college football, you get to see, you know, these names, these people just kind of emerge and develop their skill set and, and then next thing you know, the players that you saw in college, man, they're part of the draft. Then they're in the Chicago Bears, the New York Jets, or the 49ers. You're like, holy crap, I remember that guy out of Alabama 5 years ago. Holy crap, you knew he was a star back then. Look at him now, you know. So
that's
kind of
a massive
cool
point, isn't it?
It truly is. So we here in Los Angeles, if you're a USC fan, I am a USC fan, he went to the New York Jets, and a real strong prospect out of USC. It's a great fit. It makes a ton of sense for the Jets. They've gone nowhere. What are the Jets doing? You know what I mean? They got to give Zach Wilson a QB, another a quality protector, because they didn't have any. They have none. So Vera Tucker, who played left tackle with USC, for the Trojans, and I think he'll bring experience, capability, talent, weight. Makes a lot of teams in the future left guard, and he's going to line up next to who's the other guard there? Mickey Becton, I think. Yes, I think I got that one right. And it'll go good. Zach Wilson will have a good some extra protection, which will give him a stronger pocket, so desperately needed. And the few Jets games. I didn't see a lot of Jets games, but I know enough to comment accordingly. The guy just had his pocket would collapse, and they need to strengthen that pocket. They did.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan. Just, and again, I'm just from my humble opinion. There are people, sports experts out there. I'm not a sports expert. Believe me. I know what I see, and I call it like I see it. But I'm from the standpoint of being a fan and reading and watching the games and listening to the commentators, and that's all I know. I'm not an expert. I'm not an analyst. I can't come in and say, I'm a fan like most of our listeners are, I'm behind a microphone. So, hey, all right. You know what I mean? So, but as a fan, I can say that I'm not a fan of teams making big jumps up from non-quarterbacks. The Jets had to surrender a pair of foundation building third round picks. Numbers, what was it, in the 60s. And 60s, and what was the other ones? High up, 80s, 90s, 80s, I think, 66, 86, something like that, to move up.
Right.
So,
okay.
Having said that, I don't think the Jets are going anywhere. I don't care what they've done. They're not. I hate, watch me be wrong. I hope I am wrong.
No.
I wish them all the luck in the world.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Yeah. The draft pick, they had to move way up from there, and that's who they got. They could have built some quarterback, I think, looking down. They could have done quarterback. I'll give them a C. But I want to give them a B. You know why? Because they picked Aliyah Tucker out of USC. I just because of that, you got somebody from USC, I'm going to give them a better grade. I'm giving them a B. Not that it means anything.
fair enough.
Without Brady, have gone and will go nowhere. You know, it just goes to show you, we were talking earlier about how important that quarterback, you know, how a team can live or die.
Yeah.
Obviously, based on the skill set of the quarterback. You can have all the wide receivers, all the defense is really defense. You can win or lose a game on the defense, and that's been debated a lot. You know, if you have an okay quarterback, an amazing, if you don't let the ball go into the end zone because your defense is that good,
yeah,
you're going to win a lot of games. If you get a few field goals, you're going to win some games. You know,
right.
So if you have a strong defense, you know, games can be won or lost on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. But if you want to put some points on the ball and the board, you need a quarterback that can make that happen. You really do. And obviously.
Yeah.
And so Mac Jones, where's he out of? Alabama, right? New England Patriots. Let's see what happens. They're going to develop this guy into another Brady. I doubt it. Awfully talented, though. There are a few reasons why I could talk myself into the pick. You got Alabama. That's all I need to say. he's a good, you know, if you saw, you know, Alabama's on TV every week. No, Alabama, you know, I saw a lot of Bama games, you know. Good friends of mine from L.A. moved to Alabama. I don't know why. Why would you move from L.A. to Alabama? They owned a house down there.
What?
But anyway, yeah. And even we go out with them here and they'd be watching Bama games. We go to the bar and restaurants and, you know, the guy tells the bartender, you put the Bama game on. And I'm like, why would you watch Alabama versus USC or UCLA? Like, oh, Bama. You know? Anyway, they moved there.
Yeah.
They moved. Good friends of ours.
Yeah.
They moved down there. But anyway, so being in touch with them and watching Bama on TV because there's nothing else on but Alabama. I'm exaggerating, of course. But anyway. They got a lot of attention, and it was deserved. Give the pick. Let's talk about the pick. Mac Jones, quick processor, brings a real good sense of accuracy, and he, you know what? He brings the same skill set as Tom. Similar, not the same. Similar potential skill set as Tom Brady in the way he moves in the pocket. He's also got a similar body type as Tom Brady, but the only thing he lacks that Tom Brady does not, obviously, is overall arm strength. And I think the athletic tools that he possesses could cap because of the lack of arm strength.
Yeah.
He's 17 starts. You know, he's going to need a real strong support system. And I don't think the Patriots are going to offer that to him to really provide the impetus to excel to the next level. Again, I could be wrong about everything I'm saying now. You know, believe me, you know, this is one guy's opinion, right? I don't think I am. I think I'm kind of okay. I watch football. I know football. I'm not an expert, but we'll see what Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels do. I think they needed to strengthen some other aspects of the team, which we could dive into. Again, that's worth the whole show unto itself, is talking about the New England Patriots, where they've gone, where they're going. I don't think the guy's got the arm strength to add anything to the Patriots because of that. B minus, C plus. If I had to call one or the other, it would be a C plus going to their pick of Mac Jones. Next one, Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa. Where'd he go? He went to Arizona the Cardinals. I used to hate the Cardinals because they were in the same division conference for a long time as the Philadelphia Eagles. They were never really all that good. They used to beat the Eagles a lot. Man.
Yeah.
Why the Cardinals beat the Eagles back then, I don't know. But, you know, they'd beat the bottom of the division, whatever. They beat the Eagles somehow. And I used to fear them. I feared them every time the Eagles went to Tempe. Oh, my God.
Wow.
The Eagles did well overall, but, you know, they lost a lot of games to the Cardinals, and I used to hate them. Then they reshuffled the league around, and the Arizona Cardinals are now not in the same conference as the division, you know, as the Eagles, and now I love them.
okay.
Zaven Collins, a linebacker out of Tulsa, from what I've seen and studied about the Cardinals, and again, the Cardinals are a team I'm not that knowledgeable about, so I can only tread on this one a little bit, but it's an intriguing pick for the Cardinals. They spent a lot of their first round picks. I don't know.
Okay.
I remember the pick last year, you know, and which I don't think benefited them. They spent a lot of first round picks on the positionless second round defenders, you know, and they did so again this year. I think Collins joins. What's his name? I say Collins, not Collins, what's his name? Collins or Simmons? I'm sorry, I just don't remember. Simmons or Collins, but Who is it? Simmons in Arizona's defense. But he brings size. He brings skill set. Again, I don't really know enough about him to really. He's a 270 pounder out of Tulsa. We'll see. We'll see. They better. All I can say is the Cardinals better have a good plan into fitting him into their scheme, into their system. I think they wasted a pick. I give him a B.
Yeah.
I know very little. You know, there might be some that can come on and tell me, no, Andy, they did better and they needed this, and here's why. And if you are of that opinion, join the show. Let me know, because believe me, I'm winging it here. Believe me. Just from my knowledge of football and the teams and the little I watch. Well, I watch Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, Alex Leatherwood, tackle out of Alabama. He went to, I keep calling the Oakland Raiders. They went to Las Vegas, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders. I'll get used to that one. But they needed it. They needed a tackle. They got a tackle. They got Alex Leatherwood again out of Alabama. I think the, the Raiders offloaded a whole bunch of starting linemen for all the right reasons in the offseason. They ditched a lot of players. And Leatherwood brings, I think, versatility. He's got the blocking chops. He's got the he can either play tackle or guard. I think the Raiders needed to go for working more. I don't know. Overall, if I had to look at the Raiders, what they really what they needed, I'm just looking at the whole team here, what they have, who they ditched. I think John Gruden. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at who's available, who's out there. We'll see. All right. Okay. So the player, Alex Leatherwood, is a good player. He's got a good skill set. He went number six, number three, number five, number one. All right. We'll see. I'm going to leave that one blank. We're going to run out of time here. I'm going down, and I could call all the draft picks for all the teams. I didn't talk about the Tampa Bay and their pick of Joe Tyron. He's an edge rusher out of Washington. Good pick. I didn't talk about the Baltimore Ravens pick of Jason Owa. I think that's pronounced his name. He's another Penn Stater. High risk pick. We can talk about that. We're going to talk about more about the draft, more about the NFL, more about this season's predictions. Who's going to win? Who's going to go to the Super Bowl? I have no idea. Maybe the Dodgers. I'm sorry, the baseball team. it shows where I'm at. Anyway, I think we I'm sorry for going overboard here. I just get so excited talking football, man. Can you tell? I'm excited talking football.
Yeah, I can tell. It's okay, darling.
You know?
Next
thing you know, we're going to have the Andy Demanda Sports Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's sports in the game. Yeah. We're talking sports, and we're talking love with Amanda Love. Sex and sports. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few people out there who'd like to combine the two, for sure.
Hey, I have a question for you. I want to resume the conversation discussion about draft picks Wednesday, because we really do. They're going to kick us out of here if they didn't already. I think they kicked us out of here, but those we're still on. I don't know if you can't call in now. I think that's the deal. But I don't think you can call in. Maybe you can. I don't know. Anyway, 515-605-9888. We're going to wrap up here pretty soon. But for those listening on the podcast, you're still with us. Thank you. Ta-da.
Thank you. Yes.
You know.
Thank you for bearing with us.
And thank you for listening to my, you know, I got an idea.
Everybody say orgasm loud.
Yeah. You're talking sports. You know, kind of gets you going. You know what I mean? You know, talking sports.
So,
What
was your question?
I had a question?
Yeah, you had a question for me. You said I'm going to ask you a question. So I was like, oh.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Let me see. Was it the epic ass question? No, let me.
I wouldn't know the answer to that one, because I don't believe I've got one. So.
I did have a question. But first, I think...
you got to pick a pocket or two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I've never tried that.
No, I did have a question
either.
For you. I got to tell you, remind me sometime to tell you about that. Somebody tried to do that to me and a girlfriend one time. We did a big concert in Philadelphia, and this group of guys behind us reached up. Anyway, I'll talk about it another time, but we got out of it. But it was attempted.
Wow.
Her purse was attempted to be smashed, and my wallet was attempted to be stolen in my back pocket, but we got out of it. But I'll talk about that another time. But anyway. So the question I had for you is this.
Yes.
In the UK, European Union, football, soccer. Is the sport that is the sport that's like football here in the U.S. I mean, in American football, right? So, is there equivalent? Is there how do you if one wants to become a professional soccer or football player in the UK? Where do these players come from? Is there are they college? They draft out of college just like they do football here. How's that work over there with getting soccer players? Where do these guys come from?
I think you can join these little clubs and things like that, that are local clubs that do have the potential to help put you in front of the right people. Because it's not like school. You know, if you play it in school, you don't have somebody come in, check you out, and like a scout or whatever, and think, oh, yeah, that player's good. We'll, you know, have talks with them about taking them on for a scholarship or something like that. It's not the same way over here. But, you know, my father... Funny enough, he was really good at football, and he had the opportunity to go pro, but he had an injury, so he couldn't continue with that. But yeah, it's mainly just joining these clubs, and I think that's how it's all done, and how you know they give you advice on how to go forwards with your training and how to you know get into in front of the right people, and I'm sure they have ways of organising. Ways for you to be seen in a sense. I've never really delved deep into that, and I can't remember what my father said to me because it was many years ago that he told me about what happened with him. But it's a completely different world over here than it is in the US. That's for sure, definitely.
So they're not. So you go through the club. I think I've heard that before. Maybe we talked about it before. I forget, but I remember hearing it. I think maybe we did a while back. So I heard it. I heard it from you. but there's not like this college, you know, soccer at all. The universities there have soccer teams, like the University of has football teams here, and they come out of the clubs and the communities and so forth. And
there's bound to be some sort of sports. Things that you can do within college and things like that, but I'm not too familiar with that aspect. It's not made very big news here in that sense. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be an athlete, it's very streamlined as opposed to in the US. You hear about it, and everybody knows about it. You know, but it's a completely different world here, Andy. But I can touch more on that. On Wednesday, I can look into that even further and give everybody that
curious.
Information.
I'd be curious to know. And I also want to talk about Wednesday. I'm just making some notes here. I want to talk baseball, too. You know, baseball is up and running. Got some great teams. My home team here, the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, you never know it with COVID last year, but they did win the World Series. Whoever knew there was a World Series. A lot of stuff happening in baseball.
Sorry, darling. Sorry, go ahead. Come on. I think Cornell our coordinator posted a video of a few sports shirts that I've got, and one of them is the Dodgers shirt.
Whoa!
On our Instagram, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll talk baseball. We're going to talk football. Maybe we'll get over. We'll gravitate to cars. If we don't hit that Wednesday, we'll try to hit automotive Wednesday. I know Friday we're doing horror films. Maybe we're going to get. We're talking sports. We're talking cars. We're talking horror films. This week we'll see how far we can get into these things and move on. Again, we want to encourage your calls. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, you obviously can't call in live now, but we'd like you to join the show. You know, talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, you can take us off subject. That's fine. It's 515-605-9888. If you have a keen interest in joining us internationally, you're certainly welcome to do that. And the way you do it is you go to andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join the show. We'll send you a link. Make sure you have a headset and a microphone. You'll talk to us over the internet. You can join the show that way. And if our show times, let's do Eastern Daylight Time, because everybody kind of knows, if you know what time it is in New York, you kind of know what time it is where you live. On Wednesday, we go on at 3 p.m. for an hour and a half, and on Friday, we go on at 3 p.m. for an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it is on Friday. But anyway, so during that time, 3 p.m. New York time, 515-605-9888, 90 minutes, call the show, join the conversation, you know, give us your opinion, your thoughts, your ideas, your ideologies, how's your day going, you know, whatever you want to talk about, you know, the dinner you had with your mother-in-law last night, I don't care, whatever it might be, share it with us, and we welcome you to, we really would, and this is the Andy Demand Your Show. We're going to wrap it up here pretty soon, but I just want everybody to know that Mandy and I, the co-hosts on the show, have never met, and we were put together by Cornell Butler. None of us have met. I never met Cornell. You know, it's amazing how this show came to be. This show, as Coast to Coast, has been, we're over a year old now doing the show. We were on 5 days a week for quite a while, and that was just too much work with pre- and post-production and the show, so we cut it to 3 days, and it seems to be working. We might boost up again, and we're looking, if you enjoy the show, you like what we're doing, just people out there committed to making a difference and having some fun and entertaining and talking about things that matter, and you want to support the show, we welcome you to do so. Contact us for sponsorship of the show. We can talk about your business, have you on as a guest, talk about your uniquenesses within the industries that you serve. And would, you know, even a little bit here and there, it really does help, because we're doing this all out of pocket. We're not professional radio people here doing this. We're just people who have come together somehow via the universe and have a commitment to to make a difference in the lives of others. And we're hoping to do that through the show. You don't have to agree with everything we say. As a matter of fact, it's probably more entertaining if you don't. You come on the show and debate with us. But or agree with us. We even like that better. No. but we are looking for sponsorship and support. You know, we've had some great reviews and some great comments about what we're doing. Again, we are not professionals. We're long shot from being professionals. Not like we went to school and majored in journalism or broadcast, or, you know, we're musicians and had businesses and different things. And Amanda's an amazingly talented graphic designer and a musician herself, a composer. I'm a guitar player. That's what I do for a living. And sailor. I sail too. I don't know which one would win out. I've actually turned my sailing passion into a livelihood, and I've turned my guitar, which is a passion, into a livelihood, and this show, which has become a passion. And I'm lucky enough, and believe me, I know how lucky I am, to be able to wake up every day and get paid to be Andy. And there's nothing better in the world to get paid for who you are, not what you do. And we welcome your support in the show, and moving this along. And we're going to, you know, we have a lot of plans for the show. We're going to take it, what we're going to do. And we welcome your sponsorship for sure. Email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. We can talk, you know, not just about running commercials and plugging your business or service or product, but also about how you can get involved in the show. And we really do welcome, and we need your support. This is listener supported, you know, Andy and Amanda Show. We are listener supported, and we appreciate everybody who comes on board and listens to us and comments and calls and join the party. We have a party, man. 3 days a week, I get to party with this amazing talent over in the UK who I've never met, and it's just been, what a trip, what an adventure. And we want to keep it going.
I agree. Yeah,
and it's going to be hard to keep going without their support. You know, how are we going to keep doing this if nobody? You know, how are we going to? You know what I mean? So it is listener supported. So you got to help us out, folks. We really do. I don't want to beg. Okay, I'll beg. Please. Okay. Anyway, email us, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the show. Say, hey, I support you guys, but you're you know, whatever, you know. But let us know your opinion. Again, we're not professionals, and we hope that you come to take a listen to what we do and the diversity of things that we talk about here, which wasn't so diverse during the election and COVID, because we, you know, what else we can talk about. But anyway, but now we're free to do a whole bunch of things, and we're doing it and having a blast doing it, having a good time. I also, speaking of plugging sponsors and businesses and things, I want to plug, if you have a boat, if you're going to buy a boat, you need to equip that boat, you need to upgrade your electronics, look at things. Once you've bought your boat, you need to put things on it. And I want to give a big shout out and a plug to the internet store called EBFL.store. What's that stand for? Everything Boats for Less. Yeah, Everything Boats for Less.com. Hit it. Radars, chart plotters, communication systems, navigation systems, AIS, transducers, wires, plugs, cables, entertainment systems, you name it. Thousands of products. Very good prices, very good company. Everything boats for less. Hit it on the internet if you have a boat or looking to buy a boat. How was that? Was that, did you good?
That was really good, Andy. Well done. You delivered very well, sweetheart.
Whew. Oh, okay, I'm done.
Woo,
doggy.
Right.
Woo, doggy.
Woo, doggy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But, you know, I do...
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
It's a pleasure.
Excellent.
To be
thank you very much for the invitation.
You're quite welcome. And, you know,
I have been expecting you.
Mm-hmm.
Aww,
and,
wonderful.
And here we are. Yeah. And also, you know...
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
But we can bring you over the show, the Andy Mander show, you know? We can.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm out of breath. Woo, doggy.
Okay.
So why don't you take us home, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday's show, again at 3 p.m. In New York, and it's 8 p.m. over in the U.K., and that's a noontime, lunchtime show on the Pacific Coast. Have a good day, a pleasant Tuesday. We'll see everybody Wednesday. Amanda, sign us out of here. We're done.
Okay, so on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and Amanda Love in the U.K., thank you so much for joining us for another show, entertaining as it may have been for you or not. May be the case. However,
thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah, right.
Painful. You know, one thing's for sure. You know,
this is not Kleinenberg.
Mm-mm,
absolutely.
Mm-mm.
But thank you for joining us anyway, and bearing with us and listening to us. And we hope you didn't fall asleep and come back for the next show. So thank you, and see you on Wednesday for more sport and talking about cars, baby. Yes,
that'll be exciting.
About
love
cars.
It. Love
oh yeah.
And, yeah.
Get behind the wheel
car.
Of that one. Yeah.
Electric cars too.
Join us then. Yeah.
Yeah, folks, we'll see you. We're out of here. We're out of here.
I have to go out, and I will not be back until after sundown tomorrow.
That be the case. We'll see you, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye, everyone. Take care.